like, shut it down. And he's like, I'm not, I don't have time to explain this to you. And then fucking Cap throws his shield and Tony's like, bitch, blow, and blasts him in the chest.
Oh man. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot to unpack about Age of Ultron specifically, just because it's an enigma of a film. It's like all of the things that people hated about Justice League, but like in an Avengers movie, so that the tone lines up more. It's bright, colorful. The characters can be doopy and goofy and stuff without undercutting who they are as people. Like, but I honestly think it doesn't work all of the time throughout this movie. And like, there are some very significant moments that really just kind of like, I don't know.
Oh yeah. It's by no means the perfect MCU movie. That's the first one we're going to talk about tonight.
Oh dude. Yeah. We do have a perfect MCU movie on this fucking list. And that is Iron Man 3. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh God.
Iron Man 3 is its own whole thing. I will say it is the second best Christmas movie in the MCU.
That's fair. And I'll allow it. We got to come in on something.
Did you know that Iron Man is not actually made of iron?
No, it's fun that you say that. That it's the second best Christmas movie in the MCU.
Because I think Hawkeye is just about the best Christmas movie, even though it's not actually a movie.
Do we have Christmas scenes in any of the other ones? Even a scene?
Because
I feel like all the MCU movies take place over like a day and a half or 2 days max.
Black Widow.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that was like a big key point of like her being like, I wish that that was real because we faked having Christmas for once and I just wish that that was actually a thing.
Okay. I'll give you that one for that scene. Yep. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of
they
mention until phase four, really.
Yeah, they don't really do holidays in the MCU, which is pretty nice because I feel like they want to try to make it as non-denominational as possible. Which is going to be tough when they're trying to fold Daredevil into the fold because he's just like hardcore Catholic motherfucker.
I love that whole arc with him. I'm not a religious person by any means, but I fucking love that with Daredevil, and they better not try to wash it out at all.
If he gets to meet Thor, it's going to be like a whole thing though. He's going to be like, I'm Catholic, and Thor's going to be like, you know, I'm a god, right? And he'd be like, I don't call you a god, but okay.
That's a fantastic lead in to a point that I'm going to make later in Thor the Dark World.
Ooh, Thor the Dark movie.
Yes.
Dark. That whole movie is like grayscaled to shit because it's so dark.
Yeah, we are going to be going over the awkward teenage years of the MCU.
Yeah,
the Gene Co. frosted tips, pencil mustaches and flame beanies that were phase two of the MCU.
Did you actually wear a flame beanie,
everybody?
You can't skip over, you wear a flame beanie.
I was trying to skip past it and welcome for everybody to the show, but yes, I wore a flame beanie, the very, very same that gives you +5 of knowledge of all Korn songs.
So fucking tracks though. Like that's the best part. Like I'm not laughing because I'm making fun of you. I'm laughing because it just tracks.
Oh no. If there exists pictures of me, and there aren't many of my goth days in high school. There was this weird like crust punk transition I had to make because I couldn't go full goth yet. So it was like the straight jacket with the sleeves folded up on themselves and the trench coat and the fucking trip pants, and the boots and everything. But I didn't have like the long hair or the makeup yet. So I just grabbed a beanie and put it on. So it was like the top of me looked like, you know, your typical like loser kid in high school with a wallet chain.
Shower.
But yeah, and then from neck down, it was like school shooter. I shouldn't make that joke, but hey, I got accused more than once. So,
right, you're repurposing the joke to, you know,
exactly. Yeah. I'm repackaging it to deal with my trauma.
Yeah, we don't.
That's how we do it here on Bog Talk.
Do it good. Oh man, so I think I love this phase just because it doesn't make sense as an arc itself. Like, what does phase two even do? Phase one sets up the, oh, we got to bring the Avengers together and stuff. Honestly, I think this should have been the tipping point that broke the Avengers up, rather. So, like, fucking that thing I was telling you last week, you know, it's actually a YouTuber's theory, Nando versus Movies. He thinks that starting with Age of Ultron and then swapping like maybe like Guardians and Ant-Man up further and then having it end on Winter Soldier with like that kind of like self-doubt, actually pretty much all of like the standalone movies would be like right in a row, you know, like right at the end. So you get like everybody comes together again because Tony's failings and him wanting to overdo security to the point where he makes like his Iron Legion sentient. And then he has his whole arc in Iron Man 3 of, I don't need the suit. I need to get rid of all of it, because him coming back immediately after him is like being like, oh yeah, I just pieced out of the suit, and just kind of feels like, I don't know. Like Iron Man 3 wasn't really needed. Per se.
Oh, I will. So that'll be the first one up on the chopping block here. Oh man, I will agree with you that Iron Man 3 definitely was the ending was unearned.
Yeah, exactly. That it had no stakes because we all knew that it wasn't actually his end.
Yeah, and like we knew it wasn't the end of Iron Man, and we knew that that's not how, like, we knew it wasn't the end of his arc. Like, it's the best way to put it. That's the only way to put it. There was still a lot to be done there. You can't just be like, oh man, I made peace with being a dick to people in my past, so guess I don't need I can get the surgery and get the shrapnel out of my chest. And it's like, you know, it's tough. Let's just dive right in here. So Iron Man 3 is the first one not directed by Jon Favreau. This one was done by Shane Black.
And that's why it's forgettable, because it's a Shane Black movie. Because
it's a Shane Black movie.
He does dumb action like chef's kiss. In the new Predator movie, you know what they use? Autism as a superpower.
Of course they do.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's like really, I don't know. I can't really speak on it per se, but like it seems tasteless to me. Just saying. I don't know. But like, now, he's also just like one of those characters that's just kind of like a comedic guy. Like, he likes making jokes and stuff.
So he wrote Monster Squad, Lethal Weapon, Lethal Weapon 2, Last Boy Scout, Last Action Hero. Like,
yeah, no, he's wrote some bangers. Like,
but he wrote like comedy bangers, you know?
Yeah, like ones that are comedy bangers that
you don't have to be invested necessarily in what's going on, like with the characters from movie to movie, because they're just the characters from movie to movie.
Yeah, like there's no like real growth of the character. It's just kind of like, this is the archetype they are. Like, they might have like one thing from the last movie that like stuck with them, but
that's
the only tying thread of like character growth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's not, and he's by no means a bad director, but like he tried to. They gave him the task of tying up a trilogy when the trilogy wasn't done and the character wasn't done. The character is an important piece that was going to be used farther on down the line. But that's the first, it's the first example of why I say phase two is the awkward teenage years of the MCU, because I mean, they didn't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure this was, you know, Robert Downey Jr. signed up for the three movies, did 1, 2 and Avengers, and then they renegotiated contract for this one to finish up the trilogy. And I don't know. I feel like that's one of the reasons the whole movie kind of fell flat. Aside from the wild misuse of the Mandarin and AIM, and like,
yeah, they fucked up AIM way too soon. Like, there's so much that AIM could have been doing.
Now, granted, it is a think tank and doesn't just exist under Aldrich Killian. So it is completely possible that AIM is still around and they could bring it back for Armor Wars and MODOK, and all that stuff could still happen. It's been introduced in the movie and it hasn't been killed off, which is a strange fucking thing to have in the MCU. That's the one bad guy part that they didn't kill off, which was surprising to say the least. And I would say, oh, it's so they could use it later. But Shane Black doesn't do forethought.
No, he doesn't. But that's also the benefit of him just being the director of this. I don't think he had any writing credit on it, did he?
Let me see here. Yes. Yes, he did.
Oh, he did.
Yep. Him and Drew Pierce did the screenplay.
I'm not familiar with Drew Pierce's work, so I can't really comment.
Drew Pierce, let's see, wrote Fast and the Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation.
What?
More, you know, big action that doesn't necessarily need to have movie to movie continuity.
But that guy should have at least like had, I don't know, because like this movie has like a lot of different things that I straight up don't like about it. I don't hate it.
Oh, absolutely. In any means,
because like it's a lot of fun to watch, and like there are certain parts that, you know, you kind of want it to happen. Like when his house gets destroyed, you're like, fuck, dude, this is intense. And then he puts the armor on fucking Pepper, I guess, or out of there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. Great action piece. Scenes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is going to be a tough one to do quickly. So we got six movies to cover tonight.
Get your final thoughts out about Iron Man 3. And let's get to Thor.
So with him putting the armor on her is one of the prime examples of this movie not following its own logic. So he spends how long practicing and learning and injecting himself with little things and struggling throughout the movie, even after he throws it at Pepper and it puts it on perfectly in the middle of an explosion. He has trouble getting the armor to fly to him and put it on himself all together all at once, namely the faceplate having trouble with it. But because Pepper needed to survive that scene, it worked perfectly going to another person who had never been trained and didn't have any of the injections done. It just worked. And then later on, the armor has trouble assembling itself again when Tony's putting it on. And it's one of those like, okay, so which is it? Can the armor transfer between people left and right like that? Or does it have trouble putting itself on? And then all of the other suits have the ability to just drop down, open up, and for him to step in. It's like, why did he need to have all the other parts fly around autonomously? It doesn't, for the character Tony Stark, it doesn't make any sense for him to basically take that step backwards in armor design.
I feel like it's more of like a novelty thing. Like he wanted to do it for him. And I feel like that's where like the Shane Black kind of writing comes in, where it's like, oh, you know, he would be such an arrogant prick that he would like make it like a toy to him, where it's like, oh, look, I can catch one on my foot. Oh, check it out. Oh, wow. Like make like Tony Stark, like scene. Cool dude fucking thing. I don't know.
Well, yeah, we do get that fun scene, you know, with him doing the hip hop jingle bells, like dancing and putting the things on and having to do the flip and get the thing on his face in the vanilla Coke themed armor. That was the colors of the armor. And every time I watch that scene, you know, I'm like, I really want a vanilla Coke right now. I don't even drink soda and I want one.
Man, just imagine that tie in.
It should have been Christmas time. Right?
I'm really surprised
it wasn't. But Coca-Cola is an evil company and we should boycott everything they do. Anyways.
Push these cans out of the way of my fucking.
Just gonna get those out of here real quick. Might sign one of his kicks.
Oh God, Georgia's coming for us. We're never gonna be able to film in Georgia.
So Iron Man 3, with that prime example right there, is a movie that doesn't follow its own internal logic. And when you're doing a giant interconnected universe like this, you kind of have to follow that internal logic.
Yeah.
That's like, I to jump ahead just a little bit. He says it fucking spot on in Ant-Man when he explains, like, when Hank Pym's like, oh, this, you know, technology that could bring chaos into the world, and fucking Scott Lang goes, well, my first thought is we should call the Avengers. And every movie, including Iron Man 3, is a prime example of why aren't the Avengers handling this? And to kind of play to your the theory that you brought up about Age of Ultron happening first. Yeah. Why were they all separate and doing their own thing? Like the Mandarin being the first thing up. Mandarin is attacking America and being like, boo, America. America's
Captain
bad.
America is nowhere to
Where
be found.
Where the fuck is Captain America?
Yeah.
That's his whole thing.
That's his shtick, bro. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, and then, if Age of Ultron happened first, then the divide between them is more real, because then they all feel kind of like, I don't know if I can trust you guys anymore.
The
like,
only I would say Winter Soldier would have to happen first, because that's one of the ones that, again, that happens over the course but of like a day.
The
and
end
half,
of Age of
days.
Ultron is that S.H.I.E.L.D. comes and fucking saves them in the giant fucking quad jet thing.
After S.H.I.E.L.D. has been disgraced.
Yeah, after S.H.I.E.L.D. has been basically dismantled at that point. So, like, it's like, why is S.H.I.E.L.D. there?
Well, but if you have Winter Soldier happen and S.H.I.E.L.D. gets disgraced, then the reveal of S.H.I.E.L.D. showing up and him being like, this is S.H.I.E.L.D., him being like, this is what S.H.I.E.L.D.'s supposed to be, happens. And you have the whole, like, very beginning of Age of Ultron when he's like, Baron Strucker, Hydra's number one thing. He's like, technically, I'm a thug for S.H.I.E.L.D. That line wouldn't make sense if that happened before Winter Soldier, because then Captain America would be like, what? What are you talking about? S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra? Like, he would have like a fucking existential crisis, and like that would, yeah, Winter Soldier is the only one that has to happen first. And it makes sense that Iron Man and Thor wouldn't be involved, because like
it's S.H.I.E.L.D. being taken down.
Yeah, he's doing his S.H.I.E.L.D. thing. The Lumerian Star happens, and then it's like a day and a half before those helicarriers go up in the air or something like that. 2 days, maybe.
Right.
That's the thing about all of these movies, except Iron Man 3. They all happen like really quick. Like, I'm pretty sure rewatching Ant-Man, the time from him getting fired from Baskin Robbins to the initial heist is like 3 or 4 days.
Huh. I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, all of the MCU movies happen pretty quickly, phase two being the one that happens the quickest. I think I'd say all of these happen back to back. This is like a just like a really shitty week and a half in the MCU.
I mean, realistically, it's a year since Iron Man happens all the way in the fucking December.
Yeah, that's. But yeah, so back on track here. So Iron Man 3 is the best example of like why. Why wouldn't the Avengers be handling the Mandarin, like blowing up shit on American soil and like terrorist attacks? At the very least, Captain America would be involved with that. And then Thor Dark World would also be like, what? I mean, shit's getting flipped all topsy turvy, and gravity and gravimetric spikes or whatever they talk about. Where is fucking Banner or Stark? To
so
be like,
check that out.
Oh, start your fucking space shit's being kind of weird again. We just dealt with this in New York, so like we've got a bit of a head start on how to handle this. Oh, Eric Selvig, the guy that's also there, we could all work together. But no, they didn't.
Nope. Because they weren't gonna do a crossover for that. They were just like, nah.
I honestly I think it was one of those like, okay, Avengers worked. Let's keep these movies standalone so that like each character is getting their own time in the spotlight. And then by the time phase three happened, it's like, all right, we need to start dripping characters into every movie.
Cause like, yeah, exactly. People are going to start asking more and more questions of like, why wasn't so-and-so here? Why wasn't so-and-so here? Why wasn't so-and-so here? And you're like, okay, yeah, we get it. It's a shared universe and we got to like fucking turn these goddamn movies into Venn diagrams at this point.
Yeah, they you know, there's so many characters that you are gonna have to, they, and obviously they are addressing, you know, where were they during this whole thing, especially when we're gonna start getting a more of an explanation into like Wanda after Westview. We're gonna start finding out hopefully what the Defenders' take on all the shit going down was. I really want to know who got snapped out of the Defenders, man. Like,
I'm going to say it was Luke and Danny, maybe Matt. No, Matt seems like he's doing pretty well. So maybe Jessica got snapped. I definitely think Danny got snapped, and he's going to be the only one that just didn't get unsnapped for some reason.
He got resnapped back into Kun Lun, and that dimension is sealed off forever. Oh, no.
He went back to Kun Lun, even though it got sealed off without him.
Yeah, it's like, you. Oh, man, when you resnapped, unsnapped, whatever, like, you just appeared on the other side of the gate. Our bad, bro. Oh, no, we can't get you out, sorry.
No, what's with the magic? I don't know, bro. It's magic. Oh, Colleen Wing is a better Iron Fist than you. Oh, yep. No, dude. I hope they bring back Colleen, honestly. She was fucking sick.
She was great. I want every part of the Netflix universe to come back. I'll even let Danny Rand come back if they do a good Heroes for Hire, like, short 5-episode series.
Right. Yeah. They just need to make Danny Rand like 30% more chill. Cause that was always the parts of like Danny Rand Iron Fist that I really liked, was him being like hella chill as a guy. A guy that's just like, I flow like water, bro.
Yeah, that's, and not this like uptight little fucking rich bitch. We're not gonna get into that. Now that they're going to Disney Plus, we're gonna cover the TV MCTVU at some point.
Oh, 2 seasons of Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and 3 seasons of Daredevil. And a season of Defenders.
I think we might just do each show. Maybe we'll split up Daredevil into a 2-parter.
Daredevil. I could talk about Daredevil for a while, especially rewatching it. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of stuff that I can unpack all over again. Oh, fucking whole season with the Punisher alone is just fucking beautiful TV.
Oh, dude, it's crazy the amount of
2 seasons of the Punisher too.
True. Yeah.
Fucking hell, dude. There's a bunch. Yeah. Holy fuck, dude. Netflix Marvel was popping for a second.
It was, dude. Netflix Marvel did really well. And crazy that it all happened during Phase 2. And that's true. Why we're talking about it, because now it's tied back in. Look at us.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
There we go. Oops.
Yeah, Thor of the Dark World was one of those ones that I felt like it had a another feel of like, we want to be a Shakespearean tragedy, and people are just not digging that.
It absolutely did. And now this one, it kind of started to gather up on itself a little more to start telling the tragic arc of Thor.
And him losing his mother and whatnot.
Him losing his mother, him realizing the whole thing is, like, in the beginning is them harping on the fact that he's going to live forever or for a long time, and Jane's just going to be like a blip on his radar or on his timeline. Now, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about and bring up, because you mentioned earlier, or I mentioned you mentioning something that tied into Thor the Dark World, about them being gods. And Loki says that to Odin. He's like, are we not gods? And he's like, we're not gods. We live, or we're born, we live, we die. And Loki's like, yeah, give or take a few thousand years. Now, that to me says, with that Daredevil thing, there we go, tying it back to what we were just talking about, that when Thor, or when Matt meets Thor, he's going to be like, they're going to be like, oh no, you know, a Catholic meeting the Norse god. He's like, he's not a god, he's an alien. And he's going to be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm the god of thunder. And he goes, yeah, you're the god of thunder. And, you know, Thanos was the god of rocks or space rocks or something. Like, he'll have some quip about being like, no, you're, like, my faith stands.
Or he's like, I'm the god of walking sticks or something shit. Like,
Oh yeah, I would love some little quip from him on it.
That would be really fun. Or I'm the god of law. Everybody's like, he's a really good lawyer.
Yeah, he's a really good lawyer. I hope that they keep going with that little catchphrase.
If he's in She-Hulk, I need it.
I need to hear it at least one time in that show.
Like she's talking to Bruce. Bruce is like back to his normal self and he's just like, oh yeah, I heard you got a case tomorrow. And she's just like, yeah, I'm freaking out about it. It's this Matt Murdock guy. He's a really good lawyer.
Have him say it at least one more time, like a couple episodes later when like he'll hear her say that to Banner and then someone will throw something. He'll catch it in front of Banner and he'll be like she said, I'm a really good lawyer. Like, you did the thing.
And they'll point at the screen and go, yeah, you remember, bro.
You remember? So back to Thor Dark World. So yeah, this one director, Alan Taylor, we talked a little bit about this in the pre-episode. He is responsible for some of the most sanitized television and movies I've ever seen. A couple episodes of Deadwood. I don't recall the actual individual episodes, but they were from the middle of each season, which is always boring. Terminator Genesis. That was all him.
Oh my God.
Yep.
That's one of the worst. I don't know. There's actually a lot of worst movies in that series.
It gets worse, but it doesn't get much better. It seems to be his whole shtick. Now, the one that caught my eye is he directed the Game of Thrones episode Beyond the Wall. The infamous episode where Daenerys and her dragons just kind of show up just in time to save the heroes and alleviate any sort of tension that had been ramping up for the entire episode, as well as flouting the idea that it was too far and too cold for the dragons. It was the first time Game of Thrones fans saw that the showrunners were starting to fuck up. And knowing that he is the one that is responsible for one of my least favorite movies in the MCU, it makes a lot of sense knowing that. He's also, just real quick, and we won't go off on it like we did, he is directing an episode of the Interview with the Vampire television show that is currently in pre-production. I want to stick my head in a deep fryer knowing that they're making a television show out of that. Leave it alone. It was a great movie.
Hey, but great things got to be remade into okay things. And then okay things will be remade into not good things. And then those things will disappear.
You want to know why that show is going to be bad? The cast listing has Tom Anderson, the guy that...
Wasn't that Keanu Reeves' character in The Matrix? Well,
first off, yes. but that's just a great, throwaway white guy name for the 90s, because that was also Christian Slater's interviewer character, I'm pretty sure. He was the guy interviewing the vampire. He's in 7 episodes. Guess how many episodes Louis and Lestat are listed for?
4.
1.
1?
1 episode.
What the fuck? I thought that was like about them.
It is, which has me deeply confused as to who the fuck Peg Leg Doris and Grace DuPont du Lac and Liberty Working Girl for 4 episodes are.
Hey, yo,
why did they get 4 episodes? This
Liberty Working Girl.
Grace's twin number 1 has 2 episodes. Double the episodes that the main characters of the fucking show.
Wait, you say Grace's twin number 1?
Yeah. That means there is a Grace's twin number 2.
At some point in the series.
Implying it's triplets, right? If you're the
second twin. No, because if it's a triplets, you would say triplets.
Yeah, but if you're Grace's twin and Grace's twin number 2, wouldn't there be 3, therefore triplets?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
What the fuck? God, the show's going to suck!
If it's Grace's twin number 1, it would just be Grace's twin.
Just Grace's twin, right?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Unless Grace's is their last name.
No, it's an apostrophe S, like the twin of Grace. Yep.
Or Grace's twins' daughters, maybe?
Oh, no, because it would have been Grace's twins, right? Or no, twin number one, Grace, twin number two. Okay, maybe so. Yeah. Grace is the mother.
Grace is the mother.
They're just the twins, and they don't get names.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm glad we figured that one out.
Yeah, we good thing we said. Like I said, there's too much to dig into with this. I'm sure when this show comes out, I'll yell about it into a microphone for a while.
Oh, just give it like a good 15-minute rant, and that'll be gold.
So Stephen McFeely was also a screenwriter on this one, which is, it looks like he is the guy that went in and went, hey, keep it in line. He's like, I think Stephen McFeely at this point was kind of like Kevin Feige's enforcer writer.
Oh, yeah. He came in and was like, hey, listen.
I mean, he's credited on
Civil
War, Infinity War, Endgame. Like, he's the one that, like, Kevin Feige's like, all right, I need all this to happen. And then Stephen McFeely shows up. He's like, Mr. Feige needs you to make sure that Iron Man and Captain America punch each other a couple times. We're setting up for something later.
This is called the bones. We need the bones. We don't need meat right now. We just need bones.
Yeah,
so he's like,
oh,
damn.
Oh, he made Agent Carter. Nice.
That's legit. Even though that's a debatable canon.
Yeah, didn't they? They haven't officially added that as canon yet.
I have no idea what canon even is at this point with fucking Marvel, because like there's like so many things that are like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like Netflix shows, oh, I don't know, it really doesn't matter. But now, look, they're here. Look, you wanted it. It happened. We finally did it.
And then, and I'm going to have to rewatch Phase 2 to make sure I'm watching all the shows in proper order.
Yeah, they're dangling their keys in front of our face and going, you want the boo-boo keys?
Yeah, and I'm eating it up.
Yeah, I want the boo-boo keys. I'm
clapping my hands and yeah, straight up. So the third Dark World introduces the first, or the third Infinity Stone.
Yep.
But it's the first time that they full on call them, the singularities before the universe. I don't think they call them Infinity Stones yet.
Yeah, they mentioned the word gem or something like that.
Yeah, in the beginning, he's telling the story about the Dark Elves ruling the universe of darkness and trying to use the ether to return it to the universe of darkness, and that the ether is one of six singularities that existed before the birth of the universe, and that the other five take the form of gems. That's what it was. So like that's the first time they're like, hey, there's a thing, like there's the singularities, and we're saying gems, like hint hint, Infinity Stones. And it very much plays as like, hey, how cool would that be?
Those who know.
Yeah. And at this point, obviously, they were, you know, already working on like building up to the next Avengers. So they knew that the Mind Stone would be making its debut and that they'd be showing the other ones. Obviously, Age of Ultron has that weird bath scene with Thor where he like sees the Infinity Gauntlet in space or something.
Well, they had to get him wet and shirtless.
They had to, absolutely. I'm not faulting him for that by any means.
No. We all liked to see it.
Like, absolutely.
It's hard not to. But like,
yeah. So, but it was, you know, it was a weird scene. Apparently, there was more that was supposed to be added to that, but it was left on the cutting room floor. When we do our whole Avengers episode, we'll get farther into the Whedonifying of the Avengers movies.
Oh man, I am not a fan of Joss Whedon's writing like abilities. I think Firefly was a fluke.
That is a bold statement that I find myself in agreement with. Don't get me wrong, I loved Buffy, but like, rewatching Buffy after hearing about the shit he did, I was like, oh man, this is actually really depressing to watch.
And Allison Hannigan stole the show on that one anyway, but that's also a completely different topic of discussion. And I could talk about Buffy despite the fact that I haven't watched it since I was like 12 years old.
Yeah. I mean, one of my first things I brought up on the show is the fact that, Joss Whedon reused the sad theme from the end of the first season of Buffy as the Avengers theme.
Yeah, that's fact.
That's fact. There's a, the video exists out there. Video proof. Look it up. I'm probably be my video because I'm the only one yelling about this. He reused the fucking theme.
I'm sure somebody has gotten.
Bum, bum. No, dude, it's too much of a coincidence.
Maybe. Yeah. It could have been him just being like, hey, by the way, can we do something that's like, bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum. Yeah, no, it's, yeah. I'll post the link onto our Instagram, the YouTube video that I made because it's compelling.
It's very legit.
So yeah, Thor Dark World, like, you know, introduces us, like, there's this Infinity things happening. It's getting out there, but that's really all it did. You know, it was a very sterile standalone movie. You had more Darcy that I just, like I said, I'm not a fan of her character. I like her in WandaVision, but just kind of sick of her about 5 minutes into, her slapstick bit. I was just kind of sick of 5 minutes into the movie, and then it just keeps going on the whole, like, haha, my intern's intern. We fucking get it. Like,
yeah, she definitely got a shit deal out of the fucking role for sure. Cause like everybody knows Kat Dennings is like a funny person.
Oh, and, yeah, like, dude. And, Kat like, Dennings is great. And like, and I totally see them, like, why, like, that she plays the, you know, the staple role of, you know, the comedic relief, the kind of lovable goof.
The two broke girls, if you will.
Yeah. That kind of hits the nail on the head. you know,
that's her acting style. It's just what it is, you know?
Yeah. And even, it even worked better when she was played as a smarter character in WandaVision, when she, that snarkiness had a kind of backing to it, where she could be kind of, you know, shitty and snarky to people and they would still listen to her and respect her. Whereas she was just this, like, blowing it all off college intern in the first movie that, honestly, I don't see why fucking Natalie Portman's character, why Jane Foster would keep her around other than sentimental value in the second movie. It's like, this girl is clearly bad at her job and not in it for the same reasons you are. So why would you keep her as your assistant?
Continuity sake.
Yeah. It casting. It's, yeah. Star power. It's one of those, it's a perfect example of like, well, we've got her, so let's use her.
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, yeah, she definitely has a draw of her own.
And I'm glad she came back, you know, later on, like I said, in WandaVision, and she got, she got a better character and they get, you know, better writing behind it.
She was one of the great six characters in that show. The rest of the characters are just kind of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But some of them only just needed to do that.
Anyway. That's, I mean, they really did. That show was focused on Wanda and Vision, introducing Monica.
Yeah, Monica did a really good job in that whole show. I can't wait to see that actor in the Marvels. Yeah.
It's going to be so cool.
She better kick some major fucking ass. But yeah.
But yeah, so
the next movie, after Thor the Dark World and Darcy's trip through all of this craziness, even though she wasn't really much in it, again, is the perfect MCU film. Like, absolutely. How do we even talk about this movie?
This movie could be an episode unto itself.
Because so you want to leave our thoughts brief and come back to it when we get a chance to?
I think that's a good idea. Because this movie is, first off, it's the Russos directing it. The Russos are top tier directors, directing some of the best of Community. Everything they touch is gold. I fucking love these guys. It's a taut spy thriller as well as a fantastic political commentary movie about the rising of the police state and also a kick-ass Captain America movie.
Yeah. It's like, an action movie. It's weird that
almost that comes last in the description.
Yeah. It's a spy thriller with like good, like overall action and like fucking good chemistry with everybody in the roles. Fucking Steve and Nat are like actually kind of cute together, and that's like really endearing. I think that like them kind of being more bonded makes sense because like they're like war ridden people that have basically lived off of killing.
Exactly. It's two characters that have, and I mean, they even mention it. They have the shared life experience. There's a part when she's trying to set him up with someone, and she's like, so blah, blah, blah. Why don't you date? And he said, well, it's kind of hard to find someone with shared life experience. And they share this moment. It was only upon this rewatch that they share this kind of like, you know, we could, but nah, kind of moment.
Right. Like I feel like, yeah, they have like a strong bond, but it's not that kind of bond, and they know it.
And that's one of the
same thing with her.
Fantastic at doing in their movies and their shows is exploring that not every bond between a man and a woman needs to be a romantic sexual bond, and that it could be explored and it doesn't have to be the main focal point of their relationship. And it 100% isn't between them. Like they're war buddies first, opposite gender second, kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They have a history together that is like more of a bond than like them just being like,
well, they've got a history together and they both understand that both of them have seen the darker side of warfare. Like he understands that she was, you know, ex KGB fucking super spy while he fought Nazis and saw that shit. Like they both seen the dark side of reality and they both understand that that's what makes it hard to be in like a relationship. And they both explore how the other deals with that through the movie. Like he's constantly talking about her lying about herself and like, does she even know who she really is and how all he wants is like a friend and you might be in the wrong business then kind of thing. It was just fantastic, fantastic exploration of these two characters being side by side like that.
Yeah, I feel like everybody they paired him up with was like really well brought in. Like you get like even the beginning scenes with like him just fighting Batrop the Leaper. It's like that's just like a little, oh, here you go, you know, like character you might be familiar with, you might not. It doesn't really matter.
And you know, if you're not familiar, it's still a kick-ass scene. It's a cool ass fight. Thought you were more than the shield, like.
And I didn't understand how Batrop was even holding his shit against Captain America, because like Captain America is like 4 times stronger than him, easy.
That's just shows. Or I think that goes more to show that Batroc's a badass.
That makes sense. Yeah, you just show the like, oh look, he's like holding his own. But like, realistically, if Steve punched him like pretty normally, he probably could break some ribs.
Well, with the talk in No Way Home about Peter pulling his punches. There's good alliteration there.
Peter pulling punches.
I think that we can look at a lot of the heroes like Captain America and the super people, Iron Man even. There's times that you see Iron Man like punch a guy and it's like, yo, that would shatter bones in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah, like that guy would literally collapse and just be dead.
Yeah, his whole shoulder region would be jelly, tendons would be shredded, and he would just be flopping around in immense pain and probably die from septic shock from all the bone marrow leaking into his bloodstream.
Right.
But he doesn't, because you know that we just say Tony pulls his punches, so he only hits hard enough, or Cap only hits hard enough to knock someone out. Like how there's, like I said, there's that line in No Way Home where I think is it Toby starts talking about how eventually he just started pulling his punch or stopped pulling his punches.
No, that's Andrew.
Was it Andrew? Okay. Yeah.
Cause he was mad about losing Gwen.
Like there's the scene in Civil War that we'll talk about in the next episode. When Spidey and Cap are fighting at the airport, and yeah, no, dude, the Captain America series is the best one.
You're from New York, kid. Yeah. Queens, Brooklyn.
When he pulls the terminal thing down on top of Spider-Man and everyone's like, oh my God, Cap could have killed Spider-Man. It's like, no, they exchanged blows before that. And they both realized the other was pulling punches. Like
Yeah, he wanted to test the kid.
Yeah, he wanted to test him, see what he could take. And then when he knew what he could take, he knew what it took to disable him.
So well done.
Yeah. So
Captain America in this movie, even, is just like so beautifully done. A man that is not nationalistic, a man that will see the faults in his own and try to.
A true patriot.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody that wants to make change for the benefit rather than blind following.
Yeah, someone that wants to make everything better for everyone, the proper, you know, patriotic ideal, that like the one that was supposed to be espoused when he was there in the 40s, you know.
Exactly.
That's one of the things I've always loved about Captain America in the MCU is that he's they call him the flag waver in a couple times. I think Jessica Jones calls him the flag waver. I want to say someone else mentions him like that. Might have been Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is no longer canon. So,
or is it? Because multiverse.
Yeah, that's right. That's my grumble about multiverse. That means Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could still happen.
You know what also can happen with multiverse theories and stuff like that? Oh, DC's canon because it's just a multiverse. It's just a different universe, bro. Everything's a multiverse, and it's a multiverse inside a multiverse, and there's a multiverse.
I mean, that's like I said, I pictured that them saving that for like phase 7.
It's just an Ouroboros that just kind of eats itself at the end of the day, because it's just like, what? When does it stop?
Eventually,
when do you
stop
getting variants? Like, that's why I liked the sacred timeline thing, because I was like, yeah, see, you could say there was, but somebody fucking put that shit into order because he wanted to literally reorganize the chaotic.
Yeah, but you know, the sacred timeline was just propaganda, right?
Essentially, but you could see the actual timeline represented in the cosmic.
That was the timeline Kang was watching over. The timelines he pruned, the only ones he pruned were timelines that led to other Kangs.
Yeah.
The other timelines were still out there.
Well, like they actually like showed the represented branches and stuff like that. It was like the one true timeline is basically the only, he basically cut off one reality from the rest of reality and just let it kind of cycle in on itself.
Yeah, let that cycle in on itself. But the other ones were still out there. Like, it's just the ones that he pruned were ones where other Kangs came into power.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he did it in like a way that's like they reboot it. You know, like how fucking Flash Crisis on Infinite Earths was just like, oh, now everybody's on the same universe, right? Kara, you're still here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I read this whole breakdown that somebody posted about like the way He Who Remains explained it was that first and foremost that the whole thing was designed to get the two Lokis there to offer them the job. Mm-hmm. That it, like, he guided them the whole way there basically by, like, you know, the whole like Mysterious Mansion leaving doors unlocked kind of thing and letting them stumble upon it. All of that was by his design, but there, at the same time, he talks about how every timeline he pruned was a timeline that led to another Kang. So like Sylvie being female good Loki is what led to another Kang coming to power. And that's why that timeline got pruned. It's a loose explanation, but it helped make a little more sense as to how it all worked. And then when he stopped rerouting everything into his prime timeline, that's when, you know, Loki gets shoved back through the door into a different version of the TVA.
Right, where Kang is like fucking not even pulling the strings, like, or like making like puppets and stuff. He's just literally like, no, I run shit.
Yeah, the true Kang the Conqueror, which makes me really hopeful that we get Loki in Quantumania.
Honestly, I hope that if they do any X-Men like stuff, if they explore Kang more, I want to see him and Ebisa Manure fucking talking. Because, like, he was Immortus at one point.
Yeah.
So, like, if you get, like, just, like, a glimpse of Apocalypse and him, like, shaking hands, and he's like, just, like, my Egyptian empire.
Jason Isaac Apocalypse?
No. Like, a new Apocalypse.
Oh. I really like Jason Isaac as Apocalypse.
Wasn't that Oscar Isaac?
Oscar Isaac, Jason Isaac. What the fuck? Who the fuck is Jason Isaac?
I don't know. Is it Jason Isaac an actor? Because like I was like, who is Jason Isaac? But yeah, Oscar Isaac. But Oscar Isaac's gonna be Moon Knight, so he can't be two Egyptian based god deity things.
Wasn't Chris Evans Captain America and Johnny Storm?
Not in the same universe.
Yeah, but Moon Knight's not in the same universe as Apocalypse X-Men.
No, that's what I mean. Like, if they go further with Kang, you have Immortus Kang, you know, the one that took a big reign of power back in the Egyptian days, and okay. Apocalypse fucking shaking hands, making deals and stuff. And he's regaling this as if like, oh yeah, that was just like one part of my journey that I needed to go through.
Jason Isaac is nobody.
Sorry, Jason Isaac. If you're listening to this, we love you.
Oh my God. Jason Isaacs though is not nobody.
Oh shit.
He's Lucius Malfoy in Harry Potter.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Man.
And Colonel William Tavington in The Patriot.
He was in The Patriot?
Yeah, he was the asshole British guy.
Good for him.
Yeah, good on him.
Wait, that's the older Malfoy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the guy that tries to murder a 12-year-old in the hallway of his school in the second movie.
Right, but then he gets Dobby the Elfed.
Yeah. I really think... You know, someday I want to cover Harry Potter and the horrors. Yeah, that's a tough one.
I mean, there's definitely
J.K. Rowling, but.
All right, fuck J.K. Rowling.
But there's a whole thing in that about, I've got about Dumbledore being just a terrible person, Snape not deserving any sort of redemption. Basically, all of the characters, it's like British magic Friends. All of the characters are bad people. Like, there's, and frankly, don't have any redeeming qualities.
Your mother, her eyes were just as beautiful as yours. I mean, you have your mother's eyes.
Yeah, so I'm like, the whole, like, him being a terrible piece of shit to Harry the whole time. I'm not going to fully go into this, but he's a piece of shit to Harry the whole time. He's an abusive asshole, all because he had a crush on the kid's mom. And so he's a dick to the kid because the kid's mom never loved him. That is like not okay, man. That is like really unhealthy.
But it's so true to life. I hope
if it is true to life, it needs to be investigated by the authorities.
Taking out a fucking decades old crush out of a fucking child.
On the kid. Like, your mom died before I could say I loved her. So I'm going to be asshole to you.
You know, James Potter was married to her at the time, asshole.
James Potter was mean to me in high school, so I'm going to say he's a bad kid and try to turn his kid against his dead dad. Anyways.
I'm not going to
go any farther than that, I promise.
Yeah, but overall, I'm going to say Winter Soldier, legitimately the best MCU film to ever be made. I don't think it's even close. It is just one of those movies that you don't need to know any of this shit. You can sit down and they give you enough information that's like, yes, I get it. Okay, cool. I'm up to speed. I know what's going on. I know who Bucky is. I know who fucking these people at S.H.I.E.L.D. are. Well, you don't know who Crossbones is and stuff, but you kind of assume they got some history and you know that he's a shady guy and you can kind of get that vibe. It's a thing. Watch the movie. It's good.
That's his first movie. So like he doesn't
Crossbones.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not even Crossbones until
he dies.
Yeah. Until Civil War.
Until he fucking blows himself up.
God, you dropped a building on me.
Fucking so stupid. I can't believe he blew himself up like an asshole.
Yep, that's MCU. Oh, look, we had a villain that survived till the next movie, so let's off him in the first fucking 10 minutes of the next one.
Let's give him a comic accurate suit with like the power gauntlets and everything, but then he blows up. God damn it.
God damn it. Stop wasting your village, Faggy!
But after Winter Soldier, I think, honestly, as much as I love this movie, I think it loses a whole lot of steam for the MCU in general, especially like rewatching through the MCU. Like, it just, it feels so much like a detour.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like you said, it stands on its own.
Yeah, it's a good
standalone. I'd say if somebody, if I knew somebody that they were like, I want to watch the MCU movies, but I don't know where to start and I don't want to watch 27 movies, I would say watch Winter Soldier first.
Oh, no, I was talking about Guardians because that's what's after Winter Guardians. Soldier. Oops. Guardians feels like, yeah, no, because Winter Soldier, great standalone movie. You don't need it. But I also do feel like it gives a pretty good precedent for like what the MCU is going to feel like going forward, because like you don't just have fucking, you know, your dad, Nick Fury, to come fucking kick in the door and fucking shoot a motherfucker. Like,
yeah,
that's just the realistic part of it, is like you're going to have to do things on your own for a little bit. And I feel like that's why Age of Ultron happening later, it makes it feel, I don't know, a little like with Iron Man 3. It just, it doesn't feel like it's like the,
like it's earned.
Yeah, it feels like it's kind of floundered after a certain point.
And then Age of Ultron, you know, like we'll get into it on the full thing, but Age of Ultron definitely wasn't earned. I think I still say that Avengers 2 should have been Civil War. And it should have set up like more movies and have everything take place over phase 3 of like the fallout, have at least 2 or 3 movies deal with that, have a Cap and an Iron Man movie to deal with the fallout from it, have them stay separate. And then Avengers Endgame, Infinity War, blah, blah, blah. After all of that, then you can do Age of Ultron and have it be an entire phase of like them trying to combat the evil AI that Tony unleashed upon his death. Like,
but do you think Ultron for multiple movies would feel fun to follow, or do you think it would end up bogging it down if it did more than like 2 or 3?
I don't think we would have to do like a whole trilogy or like even like an Endgame scenario where they happen back to back. But I think that it could be like you'd have, you know, Endgame happens, and then we have WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier, all that stuff. But then have, you know, like the next phase, like phase 5, even be like Ultron controlling shit from the underground. And I'm not, you know, a full on Faggy level writer that has all this foreknowledge of the MCU or the Marvel Comics universe even, but like you can have it be Ultron pulling the strings from behind like Thanos was, and then have him show up in Armor Wars or something like that, have him like introduced after it's been like, oh shit, it's been Ultron doing this whole time. Like, you know, have a Black Panther movie where like there's something is keeping them from the internet, or like you have something where it goes on. It doesn't have to be Ultron clear and present as the main bad guy for 3 movies, but have him be a phase long villain. Don't just have it build up and tear down all in one movie. Have the Age of Ultron actually happen, you know, have a movie of a whole like Falcon Captain America one be fucking fascist robot is controlling the world, and a whole lot of people are okay with that because of everything that's happened in the past 5 years. You know, you have the snap, the 2 separate invasions in New York, like all this shit happening. And then the Avengers compound gets blown up by aliens from the fucking past. So when this AI shows up and it's like, this was Tony Stark's last gift to the world, was Ultron to be the suit of armor that he always wanted to build. A lot of people would be like, so if we say yes to this, they'll fight the aliens next time they show up, because clearly it's going to keep happening, right? People would accept that wholeheartedly. That would be a much better, you know, freedom versus fear storyline to play than the Flag Smashers were in Falcon Winter Soldier.
I feel like the Flag Smashers was just too thin of a plot to really captivate, though. That was the problem.
It wasn't explored enough. I think that could have been, it's a much bigger arc. No, I'm not saying anything bad about the arcs that happened in the show, but it could have been explored more.
Oh, I heard that there was a whole subplot that was like just completely nixed from the show because right when the fucking pandemic was happening. So they didn't want to do anything that was like disease oriented.
Oh,
yeah.
They were talking about getting medicine a lot, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That might have helped a little more with them, like giving them more of a reason to.
Yeah, that's why that one character, they were just like at a funeral. And they didn't really say like what happened or anything. It was just like, oh, that was somebody that was close to us that died. And it's like, but who was it? Like, what happened?
How'd they die? Why is this a big deal? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. I can see missing plot line there. But yeah, so let's head into Guardians here.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga.
I can't fight this feeling. Resurrected that song again.
Right, the dancing baby meme in 2000 was just not enough.
Oh God, that's how you remember it?
What, you don't remember that?
I remember Ally McBeal.
Yeah, and then that helped birth the meme.
It's just the dancing that, the baby. First time I heard that song, I was like, oh my God, Ally McBeal, weird. But yeah, dude, this song was a soundtrack vehicle that ended up being a great movie.
Yeah, James Gunn wrote a movie around a bunch of songs that he liked from the 80s, and it worked. And then he continued to do it, and it's still working. Still working, this movie was the blueprint, baby. He took a bunch of Z-tier motherfuckers and brought them straight into American households, which he seems to be really good at, because, like, who the fuck was Peacemaker before all this? He was literally nobody that ever was talked about, because he was just, like, a sideline character. He was supposed to be in The Watchmen, but they decided to change his character to the comedian.
Did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, the comedian is just supposed to be Peacemaker.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I just am trying to picture John Cena as the comedian.
I could see it, but he would have that stupid part that Jeffrey Dean Morgan had and that was mustache. Like, it worked on him.
That's what I'm picturing most, is that.
And a big old
paste on mustache.
The domino mask too.
Yeah. excuse me. So yeah, James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy. It is a huge detour, but it also was kind of necessary to be like more shit in space than just Asgard. Like, y'all better fucking strap on your panties, because shit's about to get galactic real quick.
You ever hear of the Nova Corps? Well, guess what? These people got arrested by them immediately. That's how this movie starts, is a bunch of people getting arrested. That's how you know what these characters are. They're fucking scoundrels.
Yep.
They're scruffy looking nerf herders. They're all Han Solos just drifting through the galaxy together.
You're trying to trigger me right now, and it's not going to work.
I'm just making the analogy, because no, realistically, it's, when it's it comes true. Down to it, Star-Lord is just,
there are a bunch Solo. Of rogues.
Yeah.
They are all different facets of Han Solo too, really, when you look at it. No, I'm not going to do this.
No, man. They're,
one's the traveling bounty hunter with the large companion, and then you have the spirit of an outlaw weighed down by a hopeless hero romantic in Quill, and then you have the I was turned into this and of Gamora. I didn't want to be this, but I am now. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's now, definitely a thing.
Granted, James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy are like wildly different from most of their comic book counterpoints.
Oh, infinitely, infinitely different. It's super crazy. Even just playing the video game, you're like, oh, wow, look at all those things that like they could have explored if James Gunn just did them comic accurately.
And I'm glad, honestly, I'm glad he didn't. I like the movie ones. They are a lot more marketable, I guess is the best way to put it. A lot more palatable. When you start out goofy and then get serious, it helps you appreciate the seriousness a little more. Whereas if they had started out serious and then got goofy, it wouldn't have worked.
That's fair.
You know, starting with Quill being a snide jackass, the whole first phone call with Yondu being the, like, Yondu, I'm really sorry about this, but I'm not going to tell you where I am. Like, that sets it, that line. On the rewatch, I was like, that kind of sets you up and you see who his character is perfectly right there.
Yeah. It's the Corbin Dallas introduction, you know, like you get like, yeah, fucking like nice back and forth between the characters and him being able to just be like a smart ass. So you like, this is how he handles situations in general.
Yeah. And you know, it's, they're not a whole lot of like, momentum as far as MCU. Obviously we see the Power Stone, and we get the first full explanation of the Infinity Stones, and what they are and how they came to be. We see a Celestial for the first time. What is it? Isan the Conqueror or something. I think I read is who that was supposed to be.
Something like that. And I think it's crazy that he actually fit on a planet, because like those things are birthed from planets as we know now from Eternals.
Yeah, that's another one of those like clearly phase two growing pains where they had that character design and they were like, oh, cool, we could show it. And then, you know, 10 years later, it's like, well, shit, we already showed a Celestial walking on a planet. That planet was really, really big compared to Earth is what they'll say.
Or they're going to be like, they can control their size and they can like change the molecule size. Or Isan the Conqueror
was a particularly small one and had small man syndrome, and that's why he was a conqueror or something. I don't know.
Right. They can teleport and they make themselves smaller and perpetuity to the third dimension. I don't know. Just throw some fucking words at you and just let you shut up.
Yeah. Space magic science. So yeah, we get, you know, we see the Power Stone. We see it's what it can do. We get introduced, we see Ronan, who becomes
not Hawkeye.
Ronan the Accuser. He's a fairly important character, in the like comics wise.
Yeah, he comes back for Captain Marvel and everything.
Yeah, you get to see
even all explode-elated in this movie, because this movie takes place in like 2014.
Yeah, it's another case of them killing off the villain.
Yeah.
Get 12 movies now. Well, no, 11, because Loki technically survived.
Technically.
Yeah, they just, yeah, it's if one of those movies that, where it's kind of like you said, like a detour, loses a bit of steam. It also introduces like a key element for the MCU going forward by introducing the Power Stone and Morag and all that stuff that we see later.
I will add though that it is a better movie than Guardians 2. Guardians 2 is good, but this one is better overall. And I also don't like the fact that they made Quill the son of Ego.
Yeah.
I think the Spartax Prince thing is way cooler, because then like he could have explored like a whole other society.
Yeah. That was kind of a misfire. Making him half celestial or half god or whatever. Because
Ego is never a celestial.
Because now we got it. Now we got to deal with that in going forward, kind of thing.
Will his celestial DNA always be dormant now that his father's dead? And why would that work like that?
That's not how DNA works.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't he be able to tap into that, like, basically whenever, because it's part of his DNA?
Yeah, and he can now. They got a lot of explaining to do.
There is speculation that the third movie is going to have the High Evolutionary in it, so he could end up evolving those genes into something that you can actually use. And then, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Guardians has all of the makings of exactly what it needed to be and more.
Yeah, it definitely had more substance than I thought it was going to going into it. I was not knowledgeable about the Guardians of the Galaxy comic run going into it. So I came out my first viewing, you know, pleasantly surprised. This was around the time when it was Winter Soldier and this one that I started being like, I'm catching every Marvel movie as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, I want to say Winter Soldier was when I was like actually like sold on the whole thing, because like I went to go see Guardians and that was like pretty awesome, but like I don't know, like I never had heard of them before. It was never like any of those ones where I was like, oh shit, they're bringing Star-Lord into that. I didn't give a shit about any of them.
Yeah, no, not at all.
I was just like, that's one of the umpteenth fucking space characters that Marvel went through throughout the fucking 70s and 90s.
And yeah, that's where I was too, is that I was like, okay, so they're introducing these guys so that when space stuff starts happening, we have characters for them to be able to interact with. Okay. Rather than just have like Tony Stark just happens to go to space. Like, you know, we can have characters that have ties to Earth that can come back at some point if they need to be grounded more, kind of thing.
Who is my master? What am I supposed to say? Jesus Christ.
You're from Earth. Oh, I'm not from Earth. From Missouri. Yeah, that's on Earth, dipshit. Yeah, I love that. Quill and Peter's interactions were fantastic.
They're both
Quill and Tony's.
I'll say both people are called Peter.
Yeah. Both Stark and Peter's interactions were always great.
Did Quill and Parker ever have an interaction?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to French fry this little freak. And then when he's like, is Avengers, Footloose still the greatest movie of all time? It never was.
I'm surprised they didn't do like a fucking like, oh, your name's Peter. Nice. Good name.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, the Russos are above that.
Who's above any sort of bad joke when it comes to making an MCU film? Come on.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
These movies are bad jokes aplenty.
All fucking dabbed in Endgame, so.
Yeah, he dabbed. Fucking Fat Thor was playing Fortnite with a bunch of people and then shit-talking a person called Noob Master 64.
Noob Master 69.
69. Yep. 69, because that's the funny wood.
The sex number.
It's a sex number. But you know what's the biggest culprit to all these nice little jokes here and there throughout the MCU? Motherfucking Ant-Man.
Yup.
The abandoned child of Edgar Wright. His DNA is still all over it, but all it over has it, no like
a fucking CSI crime scene, dude.
Exactly. It has no memory of its father, but it knows that it was supposed to be really funny. It still says screenplay by Edgar Wright?
Yes. Yeah. It's still his screenplay.
Man, because they tried so hard with the Louise fucking scene to do the like sporadic editing and stuff and
smash
like
cuts. Yep.
Yeah, and like it was so obvious that like there was supposed to be.
I mean, he still
like,
directed good portions of the movie, did he not?
I want to sure say he did at least the first sections. Parts, like because I don't think that he left like before production.
I know that they used his script for the fight scene in the bedroom. With like the train that was Edgar Wright stuff 100%. That scene still on the rewatch, I still laugh my ass off when it's like all zoomed in on him when they're tiny and it looks all epic and stuff, and then it shows like the train about to crash and then just like rolls off the track. It was fucking hilarious. I love that scene.
Yeah, the anticlimactic action is like such a fun like way to do it, especially because like then you can have like the big explosions of like, oh shit, look, it's a what was the toy that blew up and fucking crushed it? Was that also the train?
Yeah, it was one of the train cars. He picks it up and throws it at him, and you just see it like click, click, roll across the table.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Now. Like I said earlier, this movie has the line that echoes throughout all of phase two of we should call the Avengers.
We should call the Avengers.
And it's the only movie where they explain where Hank Pym explains why he doesn't, because he doesn't want the Pym particles falling into Tony's hands.
And what happens? Tony gets his hands on Pym particles.
All over them Pym particles. Mm-hmm. It's what ends up saving the world. So one could argue that Hank Pym being a little bitch
is still a fucking villain.
Yep.
He's forever the actual Yellow Jacket. Dude, that's what they should do in Quantum Mania. They should have it be like Hank Pym fucking leaked the suit so that he could test Scott. He wanted to make sure that Scott was able to fucking do this kind of like hardcore espionage in the Ant-Man suit. So he fucking gave the fucking information to bald dude. I forget what his name was.
Dallas. No, because you said Corbin Dallas earlier. That's not his name. I've got it right here.
But yeah, dude, like
Darren Cross.
Darren Cross, yeah. So maybe Darren Cross got some fucking leaked info from an unknown source being Hank Pym, and Hank Pym was literally just giving him his old identity because, like, after he lost hope, maybe he did some fucking yellow jacketing. I don't know.
Maybe. I could see it that being the case.
Fucking barf this shit, that. You know, retroactively make it something interesting.
Yeah. Now, the director of Ant-Man, obviously, it wasn't Edgar Wright. Was Peyton Reed.
That sounds familiar.
It should. Such films as, oh, let's have some fun here. The Back to the Future television series from 1991. Through the Eyes of Forrest Gump, the documentary, The Making of Forrest Gump. 13 episodes of The Weird Al Show.
Nice. I'm already a fan.
Yes Man, a few episodes of New Girl. Ant-Man, obviously. A couple episodes of Mandalorian.
Oh, cool.
And Bring It On.
Hey, bro, Bring It On. I don't know if I actually would like that movie, but I remember seeing the movie as a child and not getting why anybody would watch a movie like
that. I had a wild crush on Kirsten Dunst, so I watched this movie once when I was a kid. I was like, this is super dumb, but she is super cute, so.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's a cheerleading movie, dude. It's a movie about competitive cheerleading.
I also like the fact that the plot of that movie is a bunch of white cheerleaders stealing from the black girls and being like, called out for it, and like that's literally the whole plot. It's like them getting called out for stealing.
yeah it's not a great movie, dude.
No, exactly. It's just them getting fucking called out for stealing and people being,
and
like,
being like, yeah, so what, fucked up. Anyways, we win. Actually, they don't win the competition.
Yeah, as they should, because losers fucking cheat. Cheaters are losers and losers are cheaters. Because they cheated their way to losing.
I think.
I don't know. Yeah, dude, I lost the analogy way quick before I even like said
so, any of that. Yeah, man. Ant-Man, obviously it takes place in timeline order after Age of Ultron. That's kind of a tough one for me to reconcile.
Yeah, this guy directed Yes Man also.
Yes Man? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did.
That is one of my favorite Jim Carrey movies. That shit is funny.
I don't think I ever actually watched that one. I should sometime.
It's a pretty solid movie. It's just about accepting new ideas into your life.
So yeah, man, I like this movie. I like it introducing Ant-Man in time for Civil War to happen as the next movie.
Yeah, dude, he kicked Falcon's ass and Falcon was like, hey, mad respect. I'm going to put him on Team Cap.
Yeah, there's that scene where he's like, he says into the little walkie-talkie, he's like, it is really important to me that Cap never find out about this. And then he clearly had to be like, all right, Cap, I just gotta tell you, someone, like, I'm surprised Falcon's not kicked off the team for
the Incredible Shrinking Man kicked my ass.
Yeah, like, and it stole something from the Avengers compound
and managed to steal from our compound. Falcon, but who else was there? Because like, wouldn't it have just been like
War Machine, Scarlet Witch, Vision?
But would War Machine be there? He's got other shit to do.
Okay, Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like two infinitely powerful people, and they sent the dude with a jetpack out there.
Yeah, yeah, like.
Then again, Sam's got other shit to do, but he also explained that in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Sam's retired military.
Yeah, exactly. But like, he also explained the fact that like he's been doing Avengers stuff for so long that he had to go back and visit family.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't seen them in so long.
It's good writing. So yeah, I enjoyed Ant-Man. You know, it's fun. It's a fun little heist romp. I'm usually not a big fan of heist movies, but you throw Marvel characters into it and I'm going to enjoy it. Corey Stoll, great, great villain.
Yeah. I feel like he did a really good job.
Judy Greer, Detroit native. So, you know, represent
the beautiful Judy Greer.
Yeah, Carol Sherrill from fucking Archer, one of my favorite characters. Yeah, so all around, also, just a good cast in this movie, actually.
Also, the only kill in Halloween Kills that actually actively made me mad.
I could see that.
I was like, God damn it, dude. I never watched
Halloween Kills after hearing everyone malign it so hard.
Here, I'll give you a brief synopsis. Evil dies tonight. It happened 40 years ago. 40 years we've been waiting. 40 years ago, this happened. Evil dies tonight.
Jesus.
That's the movie.
That sounds, yeah, I'm glad I never watched it.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's the shit. We're already at like an hour and a half here. So,
Evil dies tonight.
Evil dies tonight. We're going to end with the fantastic Halloween Kills review by Alex here.
Bro, I could go off on Halloween Kills specifically. That movie makes me so mad. It's worse than Resurrection somehow.
I mean, at least Resurrection was self-aware that it was dumb.
Resurrection had Busta Rhymes kicking the shit out of Michael Myers, and somehow Halloween Kills managed to be stupider.
Still managed to be dumber.
I don't get it. Why was the nurse hanging out with a bunch of people that were literally not even half her age? Why? Oh, because they survived the night? She was barely there.
Because we need this movie to sell these CDs.
Everybody's back. Even the one guy that was barely in the fucking movie, he ran into Michael's figure and then ran off scared. Like,
oh God, that really was a shit movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just they didn't know what to do. They got access to a trilogy and they were like, we only have one other movie to write. At least I hope Halloween Ends actually has a fucking plot.
Oh, I'm sure it won't.
Here's the hoping.
Yeah. So phase two minus Age of Ultron. Obviously we're going to be covering that in the Avengers episode.
And that's going to be a fucking rough episode, dude. Avengers assemble.
Yeah. Don't even hear it until the last 15 minutes of the last movie.
Right. Four movies you only hear one time.
Yeah. The rewatch of Age of Ultron this time where he does the Avengers. And then it cuts. I was like, oh, fuck you, Joss.
The fan four stick thing. Hey, man, say that again. It's fantastic. Oh, yeah, dude. How about we call ourselves the
fan four stick. Yeah. So let's not even go down that road. Yeah, so that's phase two. You know, it's the awkward teenage years, like I said, of the MCU. They were still trying to quite figure out what they could do, what they could get away with, and what they couldn't. They figured out what they couldn't with a lot of these. Is standalone movies without referencing the fact that other superpowered people are a phone call away.
Yeah, and that is definitely something that they had to shake loose for phase three, because phase three just becomes like, you're getting a solo movie? Good luck with that.
Yeah, you're getting like three other cameos minimum, so, which is good. I think that they need it like this. Like I was saying before, is that that's what these movies will eventually turn into. It's like, yeah, you're going to get Captain Marvel, the Marvels, where there's four other characters that are also part of the main plot.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you don't even get Captain Marvel 2. You get the Marvels.
Yeah.
You don't get like Black Panther 2. You get Wakanda Forever.
Exactly. It's going to, these movies, they're going to start becoming less like solo movies and more like
world building
ensembles. Yeah. Ensemble world building pieces. And I'm here for it. I'm super excited for it. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do going forward.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to give them more of a fresh approach rather than it just being like honestly, it just turns into a TV show after a certain point where it's just kind of like, oh, see you in the next episode.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's, the next episode will be a year and a half away, and you'll be wondering if they're going to pop up, you know, like we know we're getting Wanda, Professor X, fucking all these things, but like who else could pop up in, like, I didn't even know Matt Murdock was going to pop up in No Way Home. So who else are they going to like surprise us with? I'm excited to see him, honestly.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities, and I want to say like a grand total of like 60% of them are good.
Yeah, that's fair. They could throw some stinkers in there. I think it would be really funny for them to just have like Mephisto locked up in a cage and be like, oh no, he's been in here the whole time. Like, ah, god damn it.
That would be really funny, actually. You get like fucking, they're going through like portals and like Multiverse of Madness, and like they see Mephisto and he's just like chained up and he's just like, hey, okay, damn it.
Can you guys help me out? No. Damn it. When I get out of here. Ooh.
Whenever I get these chains broken, I swear I'll get those kids.
Have him voiced by someone like absolutely ridiculous, like Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, god damn it, you kids. Just you gotta get the chains off of me.
The resurrected voice of John Candy. No, don't do that, Kevin Feige, please.
They used that AI that they used on Luke Skywalker to fucking make some fucking John Candy movies. I thought it worked. It did. I mean, it did what it needed to. It's not like they were going to like do like a whole like fucking like, oh, this is just about Luke and like fucking do like a whole show around it. He just needed to be there for like 20 minutes. Be like, hey, bro, by the way, you can either go hang out with your dad or you can take this lightsaber from an old dude that looked like you.
I'm going to go hang out with my dad.
Yeah, he's like, do you think that shirt's going to fit over my head? It looks a little small.
A little snug, but yeah, so there we go, guys. Phase 2 is wrapped up here now. I'm 50-50 on this one. I love Guardians and Cap. Iron Man and Thor I could do without, and Age of Ultron is one of my favorites, so
I could do without most of these movies. I like Captain America and I like Ant-Man. The other movies I'm lukewarm at best on, and I don't know. I think Age of Ultron is one of those movies that, like, actually, you know what? I'm gonna get into it later.
Yeah, that we'll save that for that whole discussion. So,
yeah, I'm just gonna end up rambling if I keep on talking about it.
Yeah, same here. So, all right, Alex, you got anything you want to tell these beautiful people before we stop yelling in their ears?
I've been playing Elden Ring for a week and a half, and I've only killed two of the main bosses, and I'm very disappointed in myself.
My God, man.
I'm like not even at level 50. I don't know why, but I have not been grinding levels at all. I've been just like sadomasochisting myself through like really tough fights without leveling up.
I feel like that's what a lot of those games end up being. So yeah. So cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks a ton for listening. Next week we'll be covering phase 3. Man, I'd probably do it in one part, but we'll see, because it's like we said earlier, it's double the size of the previous phases. So
yeah, we might break it into two.
We might split it up, and then after that we'll do our whole Avengers episode, and at that point we will have covered all the Marvel stuff leading into Moon Knight. So
I'm so excited.
But yeah, once again, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I am on Instagram at bogwraith_Mike,
and I'm Alexander the Wraith at Instagram.
And we will see you guys next time. Thank you so much, everyone.
Good night.
If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to support us as well as our band, you can head over to patreon.com/bogwraithmi. That's bogwraithmi. M-I. Thanks so much, everybody.